to advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Please welcome our friend of the show, Mr. Hupulo Phil Mphela.
How
do we introduce you? You're an entertainment blogger, social media personality?
No, entertainment commentator.
Entertainment.
Social media and all of these things came later. So I'm an entertainment commentator. I always say to people, like, you know how you watch soccer and you got soccer commentators?
Yeah.
Just put entertainment to that, then you'll get what I do.
Maramdala, Phil. You started this.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, he was around on what's brown sugar? What is that brown thing here, Lelo and them were around? And you put the test
even,
of time.
Even before Lelo. That. Even
Lelo
before
Boyan, that. Yeah. Remember?
Even before that, like, I mean, I got to Joburg in 2002, so I was studying at FUBA. I don't know if you remember FUBA.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a great initiative. They should bring it back. You know, it was an institution that gave young black creatives who wanted to get into the industry an opportunity to study with people who already work in the industry, you know. It was a great, great, great initiative, and it was funded by, you know, government and all these entities, so you didn't even have to pay. So, yeah, so I got here in 2002, got into that. I thought I was going to be a scriptwriter or an actor. I realized very quickly that I can't act.
Wow. Thank goodness. Unlike many.
You know what?
Like who?
Shabazz. Don't make me throw stones at you.
Drop this.
So literally, one day I'm bored. I think I might have been broke as well. I don't know what was happening, but I'm at an internet cafe and I was trying to send an email. I was still using Yahoo at the time.
Yahoo.
Yeah. So remember when you go to the internet cafe, you pay for 5 rand. So I had like 2 hours to spend there.
Oh yeah.
I'm just sending that email.
Those Nigerian ones, yeah.
So I'm just doing my thing, and I come across a website called TVSA. That's where the Lelos and them were, you know.
Yes.
And I wrote an article on there, a blog on there, and it blew up. And it had nothing to do with entertainment. I think it was called Seasonal Lover.
Wow.
Yeah. So
what's that, Seasonal Lover?
I was basically saying that, you know, you have a lover for a season.
Yeah,
I was young and stupid, so it doesn't matter now. Yeah, so that's what started it. So once I got to TVSA, I've always been a lover of the entertainment industry. You know, I'm the kid who didn't play soccer, who didn't do anything much, but just sit at home and watch TV or read magazines. You know, that's how I even learned English.
Isn't Katlego Mphela your cousin?
He is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my mother and his mother are sisters.
Oh.
Are you guys close?
Not really. I was born in Brits, so, you know, like a lot of my relatives are, you know, guys, and Kato was born and raised there as well. But my mother left there to go back home. Mm. So I was raised to go Muruleng in Northwest, Maramakoteng, you know. Mm. So all my cousins, everybody's in Ugasi Brits, but I'm more, you know, Akomakhaeng.
Okay, so now you're writing the blog, yes.
Yeah, so I wrote the blog and people seem to kind of like, you know, receive it well. And there wasn't anybody who was actually doing entertainment commentary in that way. You know, I was like, damn, why am I waiting for somebody to employ me? Let me just create a career for myself. I'm going to be that guy that if somebody wants to interview somebody on television, on radio, whatever about television, they'll call me, you know. So I made sure that I knew everything that was happening in the business. I built a contact list for myself. And as they say, the rest is history, you know. Okay, I think the great thing is that, I mean, I was at TVSA for 3 years.
Yeah.
At some point, I was like one of the people that was writing most of their articles there and doing interviews and going to events for them and all of them. They were not even paying me, you know. But I knew what I was doing. I knew that I needed to get into these rooms. I needed to get into these spaces to kind of like, you know, get to know people and build my own contact list. And as soon as I was done, 2007, I was like, adios.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and I started my own blog.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I started making money. I was an influencer before there were influencers.
Wow.
Because our brands would pay on my blog, you know, for me to write something about their campaign, or, you know, if a celebrity is associated with their campaign, they want me to, you know how they do this brand brand thing. Yeah. So I did that. And then Twitter came along and I jumped to Twitter and
Yeah, because I know you from Twitter, man.
People think that I blew up on Twitter, but they don't understand that I've been around. You know what I mean? I've been around. I've been writing about the industry. I've been doing industry stuff long before Twitter came along.
Yeah. But shout out to you, man. He's the one who wrote about our event, 15th April, wrote 1 million. He's the only one.
For real.
He's the only one.
We're still waiting for Chris XL and all the other guys.
Colbert. Colbert has been sitting in there.
Chris is a fan, though. Yeah? Chris is a huge fan.
We love Chris.
We love him.
Yeah, he's problematic, that one, but yeah.
So now in 2023, your Twitter, how many followers you got now?
I think about 500,000K. But you see, but that's the thing about me. That's why even with my companies that I work with and clients that I work with, I always emphasize that when I'm trying to get more money from them, that my influence is not on Twitter, but it's got cross-pollination. So if I put something out there, the YouTubers will pick it up, see it on their videos.
Even
mainstream media will pick it up.
We speak about some of the stuff that he breaks.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the credibility.
Yeah, so that's, I was getting there. You see, smart boys.
Yeah.
That's why I always tell people that don't chase numbers, especially on Twitter. Don't chase numbers, chase credibility, because that's what's going to sustain you beyond, you know, the platform. So if Twitter were to die tomorrow, I'm still going to be okay, you know? Elon is taking our badges about the first.
Are you going to pay the 280?
Hell no. I don't have to. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm film pay, why would I want to be paying?
Whatever
blue mark.
Yeah.
I mean, in the beginning, yes, it was very helpful because, you know, it gave you credibility. People were like, oh, he's even verified. Right. But now, even, I mean, what Chris XL are getting verified from?
It
doesn't have value anymore. So, I'm not paying that.
Is the money, are you making money now?
I've never had a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
You know, even that Skorokoro that you saw outside that I'm in, I bought that with money that I've made doing what I do. You know what I mean? I live comfortably. You know, I'm not an opulent guy. You know, I've never been. That's why Instagram never worked for me, because I'm not a flashy kind of guy. But I'm good. I'm making a living.
How much money are we making?
It depends. You know, like, I could do a campaign like, I did the wife spaces. There were 4 spaces or whatever.
The wife,
the show.
Beautiful
when
show.
I did the space for them, I think it was season 2 last year or whatever. I made 80 grand from that. But I did a space for Big Brother that paid me way less than that. You get what I'm saying?
Way less
than that. I think never mind.
Oh, Big Brother.
No, but I made a lot of money from Big Brother. Big Brother, you know, because I remember I was promoting the show, doing the spaces and all of that stuff, you know. So I can't say, Jorge, I make 100K every month, because it doesn't work.
Wait a minute. Talking about Big Brother, we were meant to come in the house with you and some other influencers before they moved in and see the house and chill there for a night.
Yeah.
But they said we couldn't come because you are coming and you're not a fan of us.
Hi,
who said that?
Yes.
That's what the channel says.
Stop. I have a question I was coming for you there.
All right, now.
Kingly.
Why would I not? No, but seriously.
I was feeling.
Why would you not even ask, Jorge, what did we do to him?
Yes, that was my question for you.
That makes no sense. No, I didn't go simply because I just didn't want to go.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with any specific person.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to be... Like I told you, I've got social anxiety, especially with industry people. You know, not to be stuck in that with... No, I wasn't going to do
fake,
that.
Fake, man.
But here's the thing. Look, here... And you know what I like? You are one of the people in this business that I know I can criticize.
Yeah.
And it's never personal.
And you understand.
Because a lot of problems that I've encountered in the industry is that people don't want to be criticized. And I'm not even personal. I'm not about your personal life.
Doing your job.
I'm about the work. You know? So if something is happening here and I've got an issue with it, I'll put it out.
Yes.
Like this one going on TV wearing a t-shirt.
Hey, the wardrobe just supported you. And that's the feeling. I've got nice clothes.
You know,
I saw my fucking
old.
I got this.
And the reunion.
In fact, I went with a jacket and then they chose me to wear a fucking orange golfer. And they put this
Now I love room.
Really, man.
It looked like he just, you know, we're just passing by, but he said, our presenter is not available. Can you come in?
And I saw that and I get it. You know what I mean? And I was like, I get it. I did tell them about the wardrobe. I was like, sure, that like, it works, right? But when you're gonna criticize me, I get it. You know what I mean? It's not malicious, it's not personal, and that's what we sign up for.
And
right?
That's if someone says an industry, you know, you get what I'm saying? If we all sit around and just clap, that's why my friendships with people within the industry never worked.
Yeah.
Simply because I'm not the let's clap for everything kind of guy. You know what I mean? I'm a fan of the industry number one first. Yeah.
Mm.
You know, so I always voice my opinion, even so though sometimes it's not warranted. So
how do you move through that? Like, how do you take yourself out? Let's say we are friends, and you've got a scoop that you need to write about.
Yeah.
How do you maneuver that?
Look, it's very difficult. I mean, like, for instance, I have friends in the business, you know, who are actors, whatever, like, we chill out, go with Melville and whatever. The one thing rule that I made for myself a long time ago is that my friends are not going to be my content.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Like, if I'm at Saul's house and Saul happens to mention, you know, I'm joining whatever.
Yes.
You know, I'm dumping Kai, I'm going to Metro.
Yeah.
That's not a scoop for me.
Is it?
It's not, you know. Unless if I hear it from somebody else and I'll call him up and say, hey, Temba just told me that, you know.
Why isn't that a scoop?
Because it's, how is he going to be comfortable being around me,
after,
you know, after that? You get what I'm saying? And the thing is that, I've got so many other scoops that I can do. I will not screw you over just for one story and ruin like a 3-year, 5-year friendship, you know what I mean?
But then you're robbing us as fans of your work.
Not particularly. I mean, like, I think integrity is what keeps people, you know, working in this industry. You know, I know we talk about how evil and how malicious and how, you know, shady this industry is, but I find that a lot of people who are able to sustain themselves longer are people with integrity. You know, it might not be seen by the masses, but you'll be talking to somebody and be like, you know that Mick G boy, yo, you don't know, bro. Like, you know, I was going through this and then he put me here.
Sure,
you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's not something that you're going to read about on. And there are a lot of people like that in the industry, and those are the people that I learned from. And even content creators, I look at people like you who are, you know, getting into these platforms, the digital platforms, and how you maneuver against the machine of the mainstream, you know.
Mm.
And when you are getting flack, you know, I tend to pause and say, and caution even people that I have conversations with, like, let's just be careful about one thing, you know. I'm not saying people like this should not be, you know, criticized or should not be, you know, showing the light.
Yeah.
However, we need to be careful about how we do that. And I always reference the fact that part of the reason why South African black actors don't make money in this country is that back in the day, what agencies used to do, they would literally tell you, you don't talk about money at auditions.
Huh.
So you are all in the same industry. You are all auditioning for the same things, but you're not talking about how you should be earning. So how do you even know how to negotiate for your rate if you're not talking to each other?
Hmm.
But it made sense then because the powers didn't see black talent as worthy of being remunerated accordingly. It was a matter of they got about it's a favor. You know, we're doing these people a favor by putting them on television. So the judges should be grateful that they're on TV and take whatever it is that we give them. But now that has changed. Now we talk.
Yeah.
You know, I love how you're not afraid to ask somebody how much do you earn and all of that. Because it's important, even though some people lie, it's fine. But it's important that we are having conversations about remuneration in our industry. It's important that we're having conversations about not destroying the new guys that are coming up with other avenues of us as black entertainment, entertainment creatives to be making money. You know, yes, we will criticize, we will say, Mac G, you shouldn't be doing that, you shouldn't be saying that, you shouldn't be, you know, veering towards that lane because it's detrimental to, you know, whatever. But that should not come at the price of you losing the platform and all these guys losing these jobs that they have. That, I mean, these guys are here now, but tomorrow they might be somewhere else creating something else for other people.
100%. Jeez, man. So have you ever fought with a friend because of a story that you put out?
It wasn't a fight per se. It was more of a misunderstanding. I mean, I put out something that a friend had assumed that it's because of what she had told me, you know. And I understand why she felt uncomfortable about that, because I kind of think that because people that she works with know that we are friends, we're probably, you know, pestering her and saying,
you're talking about Bonang?
No, that's a different... Hey, I knew you were going to go there.
Obvious. How? Smart. I mean, come on, bro. You know?
Let
Queen
me
B. Queen B.
No, man, we're good now, man. Why are you taking me back to 5 years ago? Bonang and I are good now. No, it wasn't Bonang. It was an actress. Yeah, I mean, like, dude, the Bonang thing was a long time ago. And also, it was so stupid. You know, I love sometimes when people are... when these celebrities are wilding over, you know, this new boy. I'm like, you know, I was out here, you know, talking about your work, not who you're screwing and who you're doing. And you all were hating on me on that. Look now. Look at what's happening right now.
But what happened with Bonang? I have no idea. I didn't follow that story. Did you follow the story?
No, I just know that Bonang, there was a period she hated you, but you said you guys are cool. Or maybe not hate, but there was this thing publicly. I don't know where it started as well.
Here's what our prep says. It has been reported that he has beef with Bonang Matheba. The two worked in one of Bonang's TV shows about fashion at some point. Mm-hmm. Phil and Bonang once exchanged insults on social media. This happened after Bonang decided to sue Sunday World for 10 million rands. Phil ended up calling Bonang a liar and an abuser, also threatening to expose her files of 2012 in Sun Seat.
Hey, no,
it's her law.
No, man, look, somewhat, okay. You know, yes, we did work together on Lights, Camera, Fashion. It was a production that was done under Bonamata Entertainment. It was her first production, you know, and then that was done. And I think the altercation, for lack of a better word, happened because of exactly what we audio prep person put there. She was suing... Sunny World, and I just tweeted that I don't think this is smart to be suing a paper, because at the time I believe that when you're a celebrity and you sue a publication like that, then you're giving whatever story that they were running a credence and life. You know, yeah. I think in Hollywood it's called the Streisand effect, where Barbara Streisand tried to stop a tabloid from, you know, running a story, but bam, the mere fact that she sued them, the story became a huge story. So it's called the Streisand effect. You know, when you know,
it's like on Twitter when Twitter when someone with 5 followers says something about you, or maybe they've got a scoop, right, and then only 5 people will see it, but when you reply, suddenly 500,000 people who follow you see it.
But I think it was also a case of, I mean, back then...
Were you friends at this time when you tweeted that?
We're friendly. We're not friends.
Yeah.
Like, we're not hanging, you know, but we're friendly.
Cordial.
If we're in the same room, hi, Bonang, hi, Phil, and all of that, you know. We're cordial. Yeah, that's the right word. Yeah, but it wasn't that big. You know, Twitter blows things out of whatever. It wasn't that big. It got big because of Twitter. You get what I'm saying? And I also understand that at the time, it was that age of the It Girls, you know, where the fandoms were pumping them up and whatever, you know. So there was an element, of, oh, I need to give the people what they want. So the people want me to be going in on this boy right now. Let me do that. I mean, and of course I let it go. But after a while, I was like, no, now I'm, you know, crossing a line now. Now you're disrespecting me. Now I look like I'm meek and weak. So let me head back. But it wasn't that big. But we're cool now, man.
Do you guys have a conversation when that is happening? Do you call Bonang and be like, listen, Chomi, I don't really... Like, I got nothing against you. Like, these people mustn't come between us.
I never did. We never did. Like, even the cool thing, I think we are cool because we now are able to say hi to each other. You know, and all that. But we've never had a conversation. And I don't even think that it's necessary. You get what I'm saying? Because having that conversation now, it's rehashing the whole thing. And look, well, I'll be very honest about one thing, though, that... did not make, you know, the public sphere. As the fact that it got personal because I genuinely like that girl. And what we went through with that show was on some... I mean, like, remember, Bonang had to do that show with a production company that did not exist. You understand? So she had to outsource. And I was the only person employed under the company, so I carry the load of having to make sure that, you know, what we need to get, what needs to get done, gets done and all of that. And when all of that thing happened, I was there for you like that, and you're gonna do me like this? You're gonna call me names like this when I was there for you like that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember I used to love that girl so much that I would literally create stories out of nothing.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I remember she once did a jet cover, and she was wearing some borrow juice and whatever. And I was like, you're doing a cover of Jet. Okay, cool. What can I do? I mean, I need to write something, but there's no story there. You're doing a cover. Okay, you've done a million covers.
Because she's your friend.
And then I called some people. I was like, actually, that necklace that she was wearing, how much was it worth?
Ah, I see.
Like, oh, yeah, 22 million, whatever. And then I just created an article out of that. Wow. But I'm a tabby wearing 22 million rand, whatever, you know. So it was stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd always been good to her. So it was a matter of it was personal. It hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is Bonang doing now, man? I haven't heard from him in a while.
Quiet now.
I don't know.
You guys don't chat?
No.
At all?
No.
Wow.
How should we?
And then Sun City 2012.
Yes, actually. Oh, no.
Did you witness this thing? Did you share? Was there an award? Was it around an award thingy my Bobby hosted there?
Yo, bro, I can talk about my last everyone's stress. No, there was nothing. That's another thing about Twitter. It's actually very boring. No, honestly.
No. Phil, you said you're going to expose her. For the 2012, whatever happened in Sun City 2012.
Guys.
So what was it?
The story is so boring. It had nothing to do with it. It wasn't a personal thing. It was just a simple thing about it. It was a work thing. You understand? It was a work thing. It had nothing to do with other people and whatever. It was a work thing. Let's just leave it at that. It was. It's not even as sensational as people think that it is. Oh. And I've actually even said it many times that, guys, it's not that. It's not some boy had written some story before there was Musa Kola, there was some other boy in J fabricating stories. Hey, there was drugs and Mini Coopers, private jets, and whatever. I'm like, why the hell are you getting all of these things? You know, it wasn't that.
So, you guys, and when I say you guys, entertainment bloggers, how do you get your stories?
Like everybody else.
Who feeds you?
There are sources everywhere, you know, like you'll get stories from the person.
Okay.
You know, somebody will hit you up and say, hey, Phil, I'm working on this, you know, I need it, you know, to get out there and people know about it. So, you know what to do, you know, do that. PR people send press releases.
Yeah.
You chilling somewhere, somebody just tells you that, hey, you know, this and this. And that's another thing, though. I've gotten to a point where everywhere I go, somebody wants to tell me something because they feel like I need to know because I haven't said anything about it on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's why you got anxiety now.
You know, exactly. The other day, I'm in Melville, bro. Okay. There was something on Twitter about some carrots. Apparently somebody was doing something with a carrot, whatever. I'm not interested in things like that. Yeah, given people that I follow don't engage in those kind of things. Let's go Melville for this guy comes and say, hey, Phil, fancy. Why did you cannot see that time, bruh? What? I'm so confused at that time. I'm like, what is he talking about? You know? And then my friends are like, yay, this is. I'm like, oh, but I'm an entertainment commentator. Why the fuck did I know about?
What's happening with the carrots?
I don't know, man. Does anyone know the carrot story? Who does something with a carrot?
Yay.
What's happening with carrots?
Yes, man. What's happening with carrots?
No, it's a nasty little story. No, there's some OnlyFans boy who tweeted that fat people shouldn't what? Oh, you shouldn't be you shouldn't have a belly by the time you get to 30 or something like that. Something ridiculous, you know, fat shaming and all of that.
Yeah.
And then the retort to that was, hey, shut up, when your OnlyFans account failed because
it was using carrots.
You were doing yourself with a carrot. And it's
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey, it's wild there, my OnlyFans.
It's wild, man.
So
they want you to write about that.
No, but I don't think the guy was. I think the guy just assumed that I needed. I should know because I'm feeling pain. I should know about this. I'm like, dude, I know nothing about that. I can get it to you,
bro. Like you're saying that you get, you know, you've got different sources everywhere, and normally you're credible and you're on point. But recently, you got a story very wrong about Kumba going to Metro because it seems now the lineup was dropped. He's not going there.
But here's the thing that you need to also need to understand. Sometimes I get the scoop before the final decision or while people are negotiating. You
know
what I'm
saying?
Like I will tell you something, and So I'd written something about show, The Queen and whatever.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that what I had put down was accurate. Hore, they wanted to spin it, whatever, that's on them.
What was the story? Just remind us.
I'd written that certain people were getting fired.
Okay, yes.
And they were. You understand? They were.
And they did. Well, they didn't
because the show then, the channel decided to cancel the show.
Oh.
You get what I'm saying? So it was not worth it. You know, to kind of like, you know, go.
So
with
you
that.
Got the Queen Ken.
I do. So.
It's your fault.
Sometimes, and also sometimes it's I'm a conversation starter. In the sense that I would put out something, and then through the discussions that are happening around that thing, that can change the plans around that thing.
You damn, so Skumba was considered.
Yes.
At Metro. He did go to the SABC.
I don't know. That I can't say. But I can tell you for a fact that Skumba was considered for the morning.
The breakfast with Sabi.
Yeah. It was Sabi.
Jeez.
So have you ever gotten a story where you're like...
Yeah, the Kaya FM... somebody set me up with that. What was the Kaya story? It was a story about Kaya. I think Kaya was getting sold or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a bummer, you know. But the thing is that I'd gotten that story from somebody who wouldn't just, you know,
lie.
Yeah, and I don't know why that happened.
Wait, so you get set up? So why would someone want to set you up?
We have this thing in South Africa of, especially with the black side of our industry, where people don't want you to get too big.
Whoa.
So they will try to clip your wings. I know for a fact, Corey, there's a station here in South Africa where there's a lady there who is trying so hard to make sure that I'm never on that station. Because apparently, because I used to criticize the shows that she had advocated or was, you know, green lighting. And because I was criticizing them, they were getting negative review, whatever, she developed a dislike towards me, kind of thing, you know. So she's very averse to me making money through that channel, and I will never be on that channel.
Oh.
And I've been told by two producers, I was supposed to do one show for them. The producers had already, you know, negotiated the fees with me and all of that. And I get a phone call from the producer saying, "Hey, Phil, what did you do to so-and-so?" Mm. I'm like, "What do you mean?" She was very emphatic that you must remove you from that list. That's the industry that you work in.
Yeah, no, we know that. That happened to us. There were radio stations paying social media people to tweet shit about us so that advertisers wouldn't... It's not appealing. So the show's not appealing to advertisers.
Exactly. So now you need to understand that here's this boy, here's this guy who is getting first look at the press releases because... I don't write articles. So if I'm sitting here on my phone and a press release comes in, I'm already on my phone, so I'll put the story out faster than the journalist and this media platforms would, right? So here's this guy who is beating us with being first, whatever. Here's this guy who's getting scoops that we cannot get. We don't know why our journalists are not getting that. So let's just try and kill his credibility.
You're doing too much.
And it's at the time when... these mainstream publications and mainstream content platforms are struggling. You get what I'm saying? So, but now I'm sitting there thinking, Hore, why are you trying to sabotage me? Because a smart person, I think I'm a smart person, and I believe that if I was a journalist working for a media house, what I would be doing is that I would be embracing second day reporting, right? Mm. Second day reporting is this. Firm Pillar will put out a story and say, "Hey, Saul is whatever, right? As a journalist, I cannot put the context and the full story on Twitter. It's not going to work. Mm. As a journalist, tomorrow, it's incumbent on you, if you are a good journalist, to go and actually create a full story, dig deep into that.
Yeah. Give us something new.
That's the thing.
So guys can work together.
Exactly. So I'm on some, why you hate it? Don't hate on me.
Mm.
Actually, I could be feeding your business because if you do the second day report thing and you do it well... Damn, your journalists don't even have to go out there.
Have you ever been paid not to publish a story?
No. But I have been paid not to respond to what I'd put out. That, okay, Phil. Okay, I think initially maybe they would have wanted me to put it down.
But they didn't know you were going to tweet that, yeah?
Yeah, they probably would have done that, but I still would have tweeted it anyway. Mm. And I got money saying, hey, you know what? You did what you need to do and we respect that. But this is going to hurt us because of your credibility if you continue to engage
on that.
But okay, I'm like, I'm awesome. No, why should I? I mean, if new developers, they're like, no, nothing else is coming out. This is what the story is. Yes, we fucked up and you exposed us. Mm, mm. But Tatandota, stop talking. You're hitting our business. Use work.
And has a big media house ever tried to like poach you or like?
But I've always been emphatic about the fact that I will never work for a media house.
Who tried to poach you?
I can't say that now.
Okay. But you'd never work for them.
Media 24.
Let me just say, an editor in Media 24 had I'd had conversations with to work on something.
Yeah.
But I would never want to work for companies like that because. Number one, you need to understand that a lot of my friends are also journalists. So I know the stories of what happens in these newsrooms and the politics and whatever. I love the fact that I don't have a boss. I love the fact that I can do what I want whenever I want to do it. You know, what's annoying is having to work for somebody who doesn't have the same passion for the work as you do. But because they've got the power, now they have to make the decisions and they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what happens a lot in our industry, that a lot of people who are in the decision-making rooms either don't love this industry or don't care or they don't just don't know, you know. It's amazing because sometimes you can see that these people don't even watch these things that they grill at because it can't be that you didn't realize that these shows are similar.
Huh.
It's just one show, which are just, you know. But that tells you that a lot of the time people who have the power to make decisions don't care or don't know or are just not invested.
Are you never fearful of your life? Because you talk about some very powerful people, man.
But I don't talk about their personal lives. Why would somebody come and kill me because I said that their show is getting cancelled? You get what I'm saying? I'm never personal. I've never really been interested in gossip.
Yeah.
It has never been my thing. It never interested me. I love the creation of work within the entertainment industry. So that's what fascinates me. That's what I know. That's another thing.
Mm.
I only speak about what I know. So, like if somebody calls me. Yeah?
So if you get a story,
yeah,
gossip, but it's juicy, the juiciest story ever with all the receipts, it's factual.
Yeah.
You're not going to publish it based on the fact that your ethos is you just do stories of work.
No, I would not.
Ooh.
Wow, man.
Because remember, my credibility is my currency. Without it, I have nothing. So if I start getting into that lane, then I lose people who come to Film Pillar for, you know, entertainment industry, whatever, and the respect that I have within the industry. Like, I can literally call anybody in the business if I wanted to verify something, whatever. You get what I'm saying?
You.
And that only happens because the name Film Pillar means something.
It means something. Mm.
Integrity.
You get what I'm saying? Mm.
What story in the past, sorry, that you literally said, okay, I'm not going to even, but you knew it first, that broke out?
But because it's not in your name.
Yeah, because it's published. Not, it's just gossip. But like
jeez,
something major
that
you knew
that
first.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Is it?
Jeez.
Did you know of this type of pesta thing before it became...
No. You saw my tweets. I was shocked too. And I was very surprised because I saw that story that it already had traction. I was so surprised that my tweet was getting that much attention because I'm like, but this story has been there, like, and it's got nothing to do with entertainment. Why are all these people interested in what Phil has to say about Thabo Bester? Like,
what do you think about the Thabo Bester story?
It's fascinating, eh? It would make a great documentary.
Hey, yes.
You know? But, like, I tweeted, but I don't understand me and Angie Ogutse. Like, it takes so many stops, you know, for this thing to actually work out, for him to be actually out there. Like, you know, a body had to be found. Whose body was that? You know, somebody had to sign off on the certificate. Who was that person? And who is paying these people? And how are they all connected? Because from the day he left prison, actually, from the day he planned to escape, to the day he escaped, to the day somebody declared him dead, there's probably about maybe 20 people in lane.
Yeah, that's why he must be a very powerful or no.
And how do you get them all
people?
To kind of like, you know, cooperate and nobody's saying shit? And how much money does this man have? How much did he pay them?
Exactly. It's well orchestrated.
I mean, like, I don't understand. I mean, like, probably 20 people and they're all able to keep this secret. For what, 2 years or a year, whatever?
Right.
Anyway.
Jeez, that's crazy, eh?
It's very crazy. Yeah.
Have you ever pissed off like a billionaire or someone famous?
Yeah, oh yes.
For real?
Oh, yo. I remember, there was an incident back in, I remember there was a show on SABC 1 called Jovicho.
Jovicho, I remember, yeah.
Yeah. So there were some issues with payment. they were not paying the actors that were on that show and whatever. So I got that information that, you know, hey, Phil, we're not getting paid, bro. Hey, tweet something maybe to push things along and whatever. I'm like, yeah, actually, this is a story. You know, people need to know that this is happening. I put it out there. Apparently, this lady, I think her name was Loli, whatever her name is. She's a producer, was not happy about that. So we are at an event, SABC One event. So we're just chilling there, chilling there. So this lady comes to me, said, are you Phil Mphela?
Yeah.
Hell yes, yeah, I'm Phil Mphela. But how dare you? Oh. You will never work in this industry again.
Hey, Bona.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
How dare you put out a tweet about the fact that, you know, people are not getting paid. You don't know. You know, she goes into this, you know, tangent and rant and whatever. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah, but the gist of it is that she made sure that I knew that she's got connections, she's got power, and I will never work in an industry. Okay, so I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay, I have no inclination to be an actor. Mm. and no matter how powerful you are, nobody owns this industry.
Mm.
You can stop me from being on SABC One, you can stop me from being on Zanzi Magic, but I will be on Netflix. You get what I'm saying? You can close doors, but you can't close all the doors.
Mm.
Kind of thing, yeah. So there was that incident. Is Lady famous? Lady was not happy. Cody Ferguson's daughter was not happy about me putting out that the show is cancelled. I don't know why. She was not happy with that.
What's up with you and the Fergusons?
Nothing.
Yeah?
Well, cool. Like, and that's the thing. There's a perception that when you put out too much criticism towards a certain show, whatever, you have an issue with those people.
An agenda.
And I always want some. Here's the thing. If you are a television producer in this country and you've got a show out, and I'm not saying anything about it, let alone criticize it.
Yeah.
Then no, be worried. Because yes. It's gonna, if I'm criticizing your work, it means that I'm actually engaging with your work. I watch your work. You know what I mean? Look, the questions are cool. I remember when Mam Marlo blasted them and stuff like that. I had a long conversation with Shauna and Connie, probably a 20 minutes conversation, you know, of them trying to explain their side of the story so that I have context. And one thing that I've laughed about Connie Ferguson, Shauna was like that as well, but Shauna was not very talkative, you know. He was a hugger, but not a talker. You know, what I love about Connie is that Connie understands the industry.
Yes.
She understands the industry and she doesn't take it personally. She understands that, Phil, this is what you do, and by you doing that, you're promoting our work. The sweetest thing that she did is that after my little thing with Liz Sadie, we're at the DSTV What Awards thing, nominees thing, and for some weird reason, they seated me at the table with Connie and Liz Sadie, and it was the most uncomfortable. Mind you, and I'm late.
Yeah.
So I'm late, I get there, and you know, people have already sat down, and when they usher me, they're like, oh, Phil, your seat is there. When I get there, my heart almost sunk. You know, because it's uncomfortable, you know, because I just had this thing. So I assumed that maybe, you know, Connie has an issue with me as well. So I avoided her the whole night. You know, I was not making eye contact, I was not doing whatever, I avoided her. So the proceedings ended, and towards the end of the evening, whatever, so we're standing there, and Sis Connie comes to me. I'm like, oh, Lord. She comes and says, hi, what's up to Medis?
Sure.
I'm like, oh, no. She's like, what are you doing? I get set up as and I know what you do. And I thought that was so
she
great.
She gets it.
Yeah.
You know, like, she gets it. And I wish a lot of people in the industry can be like that, because that's how we're going to build the industry. This thing, just because somebody criticizes the work that you do, they must have an agenda against you. I mean, you know an agenda when you see it.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody is not willing to acknowledge that this came about because of, like, for instance, I know I criticize the industry, but I will be the first one to acknowledge the fact that there are certain barriers that black content creators have to, you know, push through for them to be able to have platforms. Like, I mean, in as much as I would criticize Teza, whatever, I understand that for those guys to be able to get work that the other production companies are getting, they have to fight a little bit harder. You get what I'm saying? So if somebody does not even make an effort to put something like that out, you know, something like, okay, congratulations, McG. You know, I know I told you last week that you are shit, but this week you're doing something great.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Mm.
If somebody's not willing to do that, then you know that that person has an agenda against
you. Why do you think celebrities are so emotional?
I think because in South Africa, talent, oh God, people are going to hate me for this, but fuck it. In South Africa, talent always comes second. And that's a problem that we have in this country. You know, the fact that you are talented at doing something will always be secondary to who you know, will always be secondary to all these other factors that have nothing to do with the job that you do. That is why you see a lot of South African entertainers have, what's it called? An imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome, yeah.
They feel like they don't belong there. Because a lot of them don't. And a lot of them get into, and a lot of them get into these rooms knowing very well that I do not belong in this room. But I got in. So that kind of like, it festers and it becomes something that now defines the industry, because now people are so insecure about their talent, because...
So when you criticize me, you're poking.
Exactly. Hey. You get it.
Oh, and then if you're talented and you get it, you won't even worry about it. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's making sense.
I'm not saying everybody's going through that, but yeah.
But I think it's the really talented guys who get the imposter syndrome more than the ones body connections.
Yeah.
And I was telling you, Namasimba, I'm tweeting.
No, but no, for
real, it's really talented, genuinely talented people who've got the imposter syndrome. For me, observations.
But you know, but it breeds a culture though. Like, for instance, like the example that I made earlier on when I was talking about the fact that back in the day, our black creatives, people who were on TV at that time, would never want to talk about money because they were made to feel like they were being done a favor by being put on these platforms. Of course, if you look at it, nobody specifically stood on a table and say, hey, everybody, this is how the culture is going to be. No. But it just became that. That's the point that I'm trying to make, that what we are talking about, this imposter syndrome thing, it's not like everybody is going through that, but it has permeated the industry that it is just part of the culture now, where everybody's so insecure about their talent, about their work. Because, and also, the other thing is, being the only one in the village. For the longest time, black creatives were put in the positions where you were the only one. You know, when we want to do, when we like what's happening in Northwest right now. I mean, like this guy who was swearing at people the other day.
Stone
is the only one. It seems like he's the only celebrity from Northwest. You know, everything that they do, Stone, right? What that now creates in our industry, when you are the only one in that, is that when other people come into the space and are doing the same thing that you're doing, they become a threat. And now, when the film pillars now come and criticize your work, you feel like, oh my God, they're exposing me and making me vulnerable to Saul coming in and taking my spot.
Sure.
You get what I'm saying? So, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's silly, but I get it. So that's why I don't go too hard on people, you know? Because I get it. I get that.
So what you're saying is a lot of insecurity.
It's a lot of insecurity and some psychological nonsense, Brad. I mean, like, the entertainment industry globally is just not a healthy industry, you know, especially on mental health. It's just not, you know, this is an abnormal thing, you know. The fact that just because you're on TV, people know you and feel like they've got access to you. Like, everything about entertainment, you know, and celebrity culture and whatever, it's abnormal. You get what I'm saying? So there's a psychological element that happens with that now, where now, people who are in there, they want to say, but now abnormal. Not intentionally.
Yeah, because when I was watching Stone's video, I'm like, why are you recording this? Like,
exactly.
What's the point?
Why?
Like, you're why?
You know?
Because they got to him. The trolls got to him.
They got to him. And now, people are now starting connecting, because now I was getting stories about, at Mahike, he was swearing at people there.
That's his event that I forgot the name. Yes.
So do you think it's healthy for celebrities to partake in the social media space?
No. However, we live in an era where fans feel like they need to be connected to you in some way. But at the same time, I feel like if you've never opened that door, it's never expected of you. Like, for instance, you know, nobody expects a Connie Ferguson to be responding to that thing.
Twitter.
Or even she's more active on Instagram, you know, to be engaging on Instagram, because she's never really opened that door. You get what I'm saying? The problem is, yeah, I always say this to people in the business, that never, ever, ever celebrate when you see somebody having a bad day on Twitter if you are in this industry, because we are all just one.
Your time is coming.
Hey,
who would have thought Stone?
Of all people, right? Like,
think, guys. Yeah. Who would have thought Stone would be? Yeah. So is that thing, Jorge? If you are gonna engage in social media as a celebrity, expect Jorge one day. You're gonna tweet something, you're gonna say something wrong, just one sentence is gonna not, you know, land well. But then they're gonna come for you, and you better be ready for that.
Yeah.
What I always say is that when they come for you, don't do what Stone was doing and try to respond, whatever. No. Just lock out for that day and pretend that your phone was not working.
And come back next week, they'll be on to someone else.
Yeah, because that's the reality. Mm. They move on to somebody else, something else happens, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think it has affected you?
Like, affected me.
Yes, in terms of social media.
Yeah. You lie.
Jesus Christ.
For real.
I mean, like, pre-pandemic, I was a mess.
You lie, Phil.
I was so emotional. No, because the thing is that for the longest time, I felt like I was never really appreciated for what I do. And I was putting work into it. So it used to frustrate me that why don't these people get it? Why don't they get Jorge? I love this industry. Why did I get that idea? You know, so it is used to, so whenever somebody would
come. And you come can't for explain me, to every single person.
Exactly. You know, when somebody would come for me and especially when they are creating a narrative that is not true.
Mm.
Yo. That would get me so angry. Then I would want to explain it on Twitter. I'd be writing essays. You know what I mean? Because I feel like, hear me. Can somebody just hear what I'm saying? But then I've outgrown that. Now I'm
What changed? You know what?
It's not my job to make you understand me if you're not willing to understand me. Because that's a wasted effort. Because that's the thing, McG. If somebody doesn't like you, if somebody doesn't like McG, bruh, they will find anything and everything to justify
why
they don't like you.
Mm.
If they don't find anything, whatever, they will provoke you so that you can respond. And then they say, you see, I told you.
This is why
I don't like him. Mm. Forget that they provoked you to do that. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm good now. I'm grown now. I don't feel the need.
So you switch off sometimes?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I switch off. Like, if I'm not on Twitter, I have a life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sitting there, you know, every day, you know, I'm 24/7 on Twitter. I report what I report, and I'm out.
What do you think about the Musa Kaulas of this world?
Hey, you're going to make me talk about this, kid. God, how do I put this?
Because he claims he's replacing you, or he has replaced you. That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing, even on the streets, you know?
Yeah.
Replacing me to what we do is not the same.
Yeah.
You understand? He does gossip. He does all these things that he does. And I doubt that he even makes money because, I mean, how you monetize videos like that? You can't.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? And here's another thing that people need to understand, that not everybody's going to pay you to put out something. And this fallacy that people have that, people are getting paid to destroy people. Why would you take your 20,000 rand to go pay somebody to destroy somebody's name, whatever? That has nothing to do with you. I mean, it makes no sense. You know, I mean, people are broke in this industry. They don't have 20,000 rand to go
pay. I'm confused, man. What do you say?
I know what he's saying.
I am saying people have this belief that people like the Musas are making money because people are paying them to put out stories.
Mm. They get paid to put out stories.
That's what Lerato Khanyako said.
You lie.
No,
tweeted that she knows who's paying Musa Kaula. That's what she said. Yeah,
she's not even paying.
She said she wants to come onto the show to expose all of that.
Okay, I hope she does. Love Lerato, whatever. But that's the one thing where she and I would disagree because it does not make sense to me. You know, unless if that person is maybe a husband or a person that you already have a relationship with, you know, I don't see you paying somebody to go, you know, destroy more flavor.
Yeah. No, I'll do that by myself. For free. For free.
But you know what I'm saying? It does not make sense. Why would you pay money? No matter how much you have a beef or whatever, why would somebody pay money to go do that? Okay, so that was not the point that I was making anyway. The point that I was making is that, so the Musa Kaulas, there's a space for them, but here's the thing about South Africa. Gossip does not make money in South Africa. It does not. Because remember, as content creators, especially on digital platforms, our revenue are brands.
Yes.
More than anything.
Yes.
Get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And now with this cancel culture, whatever, where everybody's so worried, the brands are so worried, you know, Brands will not touch gossip.
Mm.
Wait, so are you saying he's drinking those Hunters and Gutus?
Yeah, no, no, no. Hunters is not sponsoring that. That I know for a fact, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So his well is dry.
You cannot say. But no.
Wow.
Nice.
So stop it. Move something. Fuck it. Stop that thing.
And I think, look, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. He's managed to amass a following that will.
But maybe he doesn't want to make money. Maybe he just wants to be
exactly.
famous.
That's
but,
another thing.
But there's definitely, but here's the thing. There's definitely someone putting money onto it because they've got a studio, they've paid a sound guy. Americans.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, those are resources. Those are production costs involved.
Yes.
Unless he's got the money and he's bankrolling it himself. So there is someone actually willing to put money behind something like that.
But there's also this element of, I'm sure when you were starting out, you went through the same thing where if you're trying to build something, you bring people on and say, hey, we are building here.
For sure.
You know,
your
rates, whatever, just work and, try and build something. Yeah. So that happens a lot. You know, so just because something is done, you know, it doesn't mean that. But anyway, we don't know the bank account. But my thing was on Sam Khore. Unfortunately, gossip doesn't make money, and also it's not sustainable long term. You know, it fades. So that is not something that if you are a smart creative, you would want to attach your name or your brand to, because it's going to end. But unfortunately, when it ends, it's not going to end just with just the presenter. It's going to take a lot of people down with him.
Yeah, but that nigga's funny though, man. That kid is funny.
Hilarious.
What's for his presenting style, the content, the jabs?
Yeah, me and my friends.
Oh, yeah, I don't me and my friends. So me and my friends, we don't like that shit. Me and my friends, we're not into that shit.
But it's a big goal.
It's boring.
Everybody likes to watch a train wreck.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? It's addictive. True. Like, everybody knows how this story is going to end.
Yes, we've seen the book.
We all know how this is going to end,
right?
But it's entertaining to watch. Like, I mean, he did a video about me the other day. Everybody was sending me messages. Are you okay, bro? I wasn't even bothered by it. But maybe 3 years ago it would have. I wasn't even bothered.
So as a bigger brother or someone who's been in this space longer, why don't you pick up the call and tell him, like, Ntwana, let's do 1, 2, 3. Let's move like this.
Nah. You see, the other problem, like, I see the content, whatever, right? But the other thing about Musa that he that is going to be to his detriment is his ego. He's got a huge ego. Even before he got to this, even when he was starting, you know, if you come into a space and you come in to replace people, that's already a trigger. That's already a red flag. You get what I'm saying? And so you can't collaborate with somebody like that. You can't work with somebody like that. You can't even advise somebody like that because they already believe that they know better than everybody else. So how do you like, it's like having an employee who thinks they know your business better than you. How do you deal with somebody like that? You can't. The best thing is just to let them go and go, okay, you think you know this better, go do it there and succeed on your own gear and all of that. So I've no interest, number one, to do that, because I think his ego is way too much. He's very disrespectful. So I don't associate myself with people like that. I wouldn't even see the need. Like, I think anybody who wants to associate themselves with that boy is... Yeah.
Bro, how much did the wife get, like, to do that show? How much money did they get?
I have no idea. But it wasn't a lot in terms of what the Mnet thing is getting.
Which Mnet thing?
Yabo Nomza. Yeah, I mean, that's proper. That's like
some, I heard,
proper.
They got 120 million.
Yeah, that's some proper money. I wouldn't be surprised.
The wife?
Well, if... Okay, cool. If the wife... If parking this new Klebeka thing got 8, yeah, that's reasonable.
So the wife could have gotten 120.
Yeah, and 120 is nothing, bro.
For real? 120 million?
Bro, for location shoots.
Hey.
And all of this thing.
And the production is dope. Have you seen the wife?
Yeah.
The production is next level, bro.
It seems like a lot of money, but if you're doing a production on that scale and you're doing a lot of location shoot, that's nothing, bro. That is nothing. I mean, you need to understand that if you're doing studio work,
yeah,
you can get away with doing like 200 episodes on about maybe that 80,
yes,
20, whatever. Mm-hmm. But now if you have to take production,
how much is the Nom Zamu? Which one is the Nom Zamu one?
The Shaka thing.
Oh, Shaka.
Yeah, I get a Nom Zamu is producing. Yeah, Ilembe, whatever.
How much are they getting?
If this was getting 120, probably we're looking at about maybe
100 million.
And
500 million? Half a billion?
Half a billion?
For production? Hey, we're in the wrong industry.
How do they recoup? Wait.
You can easily get it. I mean, I don't...
How did they recoup?
Look, if somebody told you... No, I'm just going by his number, right?
Yeah.
If somebody told you that the wife got 120,
yes.
Right? I know for a fact that Kabeja got 80.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Right? Kabeja is a smaller... whatever. It's a smaller production.
Yeah.
The wife compared to Shaka is smaller.
So
what I would do is that I would take, I'm speculating. So I would be like, if they gave those 120, then they were looking at close to 5 or maybe, okay, let's just be conservative.
300 million.
But here's the thing that people forget. There's a lot of money in this industry.
Huh.
Do you understand? I mean, if back in the day before the original generation was being cancelled, they were throwing numbers like, you know, the Generations makes about 500 million for the SABC annually. I mean, that's a lot of money. You know, it just doesn't trickle down.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's a lot of money that is circulating in this industry. I mean, you look at the box office in South Africa.
Mm.
Do you know how there are certain years where 3 billion rand is made on ticket sales from cinemas?
Just in this country. Fuck me.
Before COVID, I think the lowest year would have been maybe 1 billion.
Oh.
But we're talking a lot of money that is circulating.
And Showmax is coming now. They're pumping a lot of money, no?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is why owning means of productions, owning these things, it's important, because when they catch on, you know, I mean, I would love to see you get the deal that that Rogan guy has.
Oh, Joe Rogan, yes.
And why can't you do that?
No, we're working towards
that. Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
You know, and it should be real money.
Mm.
Because the other thing that annoys me about these international companies, when they come to South Africa, because you're an unlegislated industry and whatever, they want to get everything here for as little as they possibly can. When the monies that are spending there, it's minuscule when it's converted to here. So if you are able to give a YouTuber $1 million that side, $1 million to you is like 100,000.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that. That's why I was very critical of TikTok, and I didn't even have a conversation with them about the fact that TikTok in South Africa is carried by black content creators.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes,
you understand. And I feel like TikTok had an obligation, a moral obligation, to make sure that these kids are making money on those, on that platform.
Because they're not making money.
They're crazy. No, you can't. Like, I mean, like, it's not like YouTube where you've got subscribers and your views, whatever.
Sure.
They don't have a system like that, right? So if you don't have a system like that, then it becomes an issue of brands. But now, the way that TikTok is set up, I can't just come in with a branded content on their platform without going through them first.
Is it?
Wow, for real?
So that limits what revenue I could be making.
So wait, I'm on TikTok right now. I've got X amount of thingies. I want to promote Granger. I have to go through TikTok.
Yeah, if that's clearly a Granger promotional thing, it has to be approved by TikTok. That's why I remember. I don't know if that's the case now, but I remember a year or 2 years ago when I was doing my entertainment alert thing.
Mm.
I wanted to put the clips on TikTok, but I wanted them to make money, because that's how
you generate
making money. You know, I do branded content for shows and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it was made very clear, okay, fine, no, you can do that. But however, the brand has to have a conversation with us.
Mm.
You can't just come and put out a video on there that's got, you know, branding and whatever. I'm like, but now that, what if this brand does not want to be talking to you? Does not want to be dealing with you? They want to only deal with me. And now, the thing, if you're a content creator and then you're adding another barrier, I mean, brands are not going to be interested in that kind of thing. So the point that I was trying to make, what annoys me is that these companies now, when they're in South Africa, they're not willing to put out money. Do you remember back in the day when Walt Disney was doing Black Panther, and they had the South Africans on their album?
Yeah.
Do you know how South Africans were the only artists whose royalties were kept on that album?
What? There was a cap?
Yes.
Why?
So they were not
explain, explain that what that means, Penduka, for people that don't know what he's talking about.
He's here, he can explain it. How there was a limit on their royalties,
yeah,
and what,
how much they,
what
earn,
they made,
right?
From royalties. Yeah. There was a limit on that, yeah.
You got, you get what I'm saying?
More babes.
I mean, it's insane. But look now, babes would still be, you know, chowing right now and doing
imagine
very well. And that's the reality of South Africa, and that's why. And I know young people are not really that interested in the game, are not really interested in the politics of the industry. But it is important that we do get, you know, some form of legislation in this country, because yeah, it protects everybody.
That's not going to happen. Phil.
You know, it protects. I know people. Certain people benefit from us not having that. Mm. You know, but it has to happen. You know, at some point, I mean, the fact that somebody could die on a set and it just, you know, that would not happen in America.
Mm.
You know, when where an actor, you know, gets injured on set and, you know, like, oh, okay, it happened, or remover on. No.
Who's Otto?
Otto Sijwene, he was a guy who fell off a cliff in a scene. They were shooting, I think, somewhere in Northwest or something like
oh,
that.
No.
So he fell off and he died.
Oh.
You see what I mean? Mm. You guys don't even know about this.
Wait, what were they shooting?
They were shooting a series or a movie or something like that.
Oh. Which one?
What was it called?
Jeez, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that, bro.
Yeah, you know, there's this white lady who's a producer, Jillian something, and her husband, Wale Rasta, so they are the ones who own the production company and all of that. But it was a story. You see, that's why stories like that now die.
Mm.
You know, the fact that an actor could die on a set, and the story behind that is, it was very clear that corners were, what's the phrase? They were cutting corners and all of that stuff. You can never do that with a Hollywood production. Hollywood production, you can never do
it'll
that.
Stop.
You have a
exactly
proper health and safety person.
Exactly. But we can't have that unless our industry. So it's not just about remuneration and all these things. It's also about the safety of the actors that we have in this country, the safety of the musicians that we have in this country, and all of that. Because the thing is, how do you protect your being as a person if the government of the country that you're in does not see what you do as something that is valuable, even though it's bringing billions or whatever? And when I say your being, I mean, a lot of actors in this country, as you well know and whatever, don't have medical aid, can't do shit because they don't have, you know, we are seen as contractors, we're seen as
freelancers
and whatever. Stuff like that. That is danger to your
That's
person.
That's why radio has got it right. Radio has got it right.
Exactly.
Mm, mm.
You know what I'm saying? So things like that need to change, and they're not going to change unless young people get involved, because hey, these old people live on us sometimes in Jay. I'm a taller 5 front and I'm a bubble Arthur. And we need you guys to be out there telling this. Look, I know a lot of people are doubtful, but I have faith in Zizi, you know, the new minister. I have faith that he's gonna try, or at least he's gonna make it look like he's trying to do something, which maybe will then, you know, galvanize other people to actually, you know, push for what needs to happen. But I have faith in him because he seems to be interested in having a conversation. Because the previous minister,
isn't that what they do?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they do, the ministers, when they start, they sit down with the actors and actresses, like as if we understand, and then...
Yeah, but you see, my thing, I'm an optimist. So my thing, if somebody's showing an effort, you know, let's support and let's not shoot it down before you even see where he's going. You get what I'm saying? But I like that he's making a concerted effort to, you know, to bring about change.
Gotcha.
You are well versed in the game. If let's say you were his advisor and there's a to-do list, what should he be doing as his first few projects?
Yeah.
Number one, get the president to sign the Performance Protection Act. That is the one thing that's gonna, you know, solve a lot of issues. Because all these guilds and whatever, all these other things that are happening on the side, whatever it is that they do has no power value unless that bill is signed. So for me, that is paramount to everything else. That is paramount, right?
Quickly, what does the bill say?
Well, the bill basically it proposes that, you know, you are protected in terms of pay as you earn. You know, like everybody, like basically to simplify it, the bill simply just says that treat performers like you treat any other employee in the economy of South Africa.
Oh,
it simply says
beautiful.
That.
Beautiful.
Pay
Y-E, man.
Yeah, at the core of it. You know, I mean, there are certain things that are specific to the industry that are not, you know, in other industry. But at the core of it, and to simplify it, whatever, it just simply says that give us the courtesy and the rights that everybody, every employee in this country gotcha. Has.
So at the moment, it's the production companies that are benefiting from this bill not being signed.
Yeah.
Mm. And they would want the bill to remain on the table collecting dust of the president.
Yeah.
That's why it's not getting signed. Too many people are eating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's really people who are making serious money from it not being signed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, and the other stuff that he should be doing after that, of course.
Okay, so after that now, I jump off the boat because I think we as a country, we need to get out of this thing of expecting, you know, the government to be, you know, running the industry. I think we need to get to a point where we start encouraging private investment into our industry. You know, we need to start creating a situation where people see that there's value in investing in MEG. You know, and I feel like if we expect the government to be too involved.
To spoon feed us.
I hate that every film that is South African has to be sponsored by government.
Mm.
You know, I need us to get to a point where we can have producers go source money, you know, and invest in a film and that film makes money and, you know, and. Mm. So I'm not too crazy about him getting involved in anything else except signing bills and
okay,
just
fair enough.
Going away. but I wanna see our industry get to a point where we are able to, you know, attract private investment. And the only way that we can do that is to show that this works.
Mm, mm, mm.
You know, and I hate that now, you know, what you created here is great, it's wonderful, whatever. And it's nice to see other people emulate it and whatever, you know. But at the same time, one thing that annoys me about South African creative is that when one thing works, everybody wants to do it. And they want to do it the same way.
And no shame, man. No shame.
That's seriously. You understand? And that in itself hurts you guys because if I'm sitting there and I'm like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wish that creatives could get out of this. Yes, yes, yes. I'm not saying don't podcast. I'm saying there are other things that you could be podcasting about.
Within the space.
You know, within the space. There are other creative ways that you... Like right now, I would love to see a young, enthusiastic filmmaker doing a podcast about films.
Films, yeah. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
It's a somebody huge market.
Yeah, somebody who's interested in sports, you know, doing something different, you know, giving us, you know, I'm not interested in sports at all, but I mean, if somebody were to curate content around sports and do it well, I would want to watch that. Yeah. And they would be able to make money, you know, because a lot of time what happens is that even brands don't know where to go because everybody's doing the same thing, kind of thing. But what a part of the reason why I make a living, I've never had a 9-to-5 job and I make a living doing what I do, is because I found a niche and I created that niche for myself. When I was not the only person reporting on entertainment. You know what I'm saying? You had Just Curious. You had
Just Audi. Curious.
Yes.
It's Lelo Poyana.
You know what I'm saying?
You had, you remember Mika Stefano.
Mika Stefano was there.
Mika Stefano.
Exactly.
No.
You know what I'm saying? What made me be able to to make money and whatever? Well, because in that space, I was like, oh, everybody's covering the industry, right?
Because,
but these guys are doing the same thing that the magazines are doing, whatever. I was like, oh, okay, I could be different and only cover, you know, television, music, film, and brands. And be that. You know, Jorge, film pillar, that's what he does. That's where you got to go. Now, brands are not confused.
Yeah.
If they want to push something, they're not confused about what exactly is Phil all about. Where is he going to fit into it?
Yeah.
And I want young creatives to start thinking about that. And especially now that they've got resources. I mean, resources back in the day used to mean a lot of money. Now it doesn't mean that. You know, like, you know, people can put together cameras and whatever, you know.
They have a cell phone.
Phones are doing amazing things right now. You've got access to that. Now it's time to be innovative. it's time now to be, you know, creative. Mm. That's why you call it creatives. Mm. To be creative. Don't say, Meiji's doing this, is working for Meiji, so I should be doing the same thing. No. Find what works for you. And you know, the other thing is people can see and pick up when you are not passionate about something. You're just doing it because you're trying to get.
You know, so people, now more than ever.
Pick it up.
Mm. Now more than ever.
Pick it up.
It translates when
we, yeah. There are these podcasts that I watch sometimes. I'm like, you are trying too hard. This is not for you. This is not you. No, honestly, this is not you. You are trying too hard. If you were doing this about something that you actually like and actually are interested in, it would, you know,
translate more.
Yeah, translate more. Anyway, I'm talking too much.
Umcholo, how are we right now?
Yeah. No, but the thing is that, look, it's very hard to date when you do, when you are in this industry, let me put it that way. You know, people always ask, Jorge, why would this celebrity go date another celebrity? Why can't he go date an investment banker?
Yes.
But they don't understand, Jorge. It's better to the people that you know, that know the life that you live. You know, trying to explain to a doctor, Jorge, hey, I have to be doing this, whatever.
So you're not dating?
I'm dabbling.
You're dabbling, my nigga.
You're dabbling.
He's dabbling there, Morocco. That's why he's hanging.
I haven't tried. I haven't claimed anybody yet. Let's put it that way.
But are you being claimed?
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah. How was your marriage, man?
Marriage?
Damn.
Exactly.
No. Me married? Whom?
You're not married?
Huh? Never.
How? Oh, what's happening here with this prep, my man? We need to find out.
Me married.
I heard about the whole thing.
Yeah, it says... It says Phil Impella was apparently dumped by his then-fiancé, who he had married and settled... And made plans with. He said that experience tested his strength and his view of life.
Hi, Bo.
Hey.
Hi. Kiss my book. Fact checker, are you getting fired?
No, it wasn't fact check. It's our producer.
I've never been married. I have no interest in getting married.
Oh, wow.
Were you ever engaged, though?
Yeah.
Were you ever engaged, though?
No.
Oh.
What made you lose interest in marriage?
I don't know, it's just not for me. Like,
what's your type, Phil?
My type?
Mm.
Yo, my type has to be tall. Like, why is that looking, guys? Y'all are toast.
Hey. Hey, man, I'm sure.
I was in Pretoria. I was the tallest guy in the room.
Oh, you like them tall, dark, and handsome?
No, the thing is that you need to understand something. If you know my life story, whatever. Like, I've been practically raising myself since I was 17, right?
Okay.
I came to Joburg with nothing, couldn't even speak English fluently, you know. So I built myself. I'm the definition of self-made.
Got you.
You know, so that unfortunately comes with hotel.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Because I can do it. Like, I've got that thing. I can't relinquish control easy.
Hey.
I can't really. So I need to date somebody.
So you're a top or a bottom? Which one are we?
Carrot top. That's why that guy came with the carrot story to Phil.
It's been wonderful. God bless you.
Happy life.
You know what I mean? You gotta be on top if you're in control, dog.
Yeah. I need somebody who's got, you know.
Yeah.
Some, yeah.
Have you ever been with anyone famous?
What, been, in what, dated or
school? Oh, like a friend.
Both.
I've never dated, but I've played around with some people.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't that weird? Because you could never write shit about them.
But I don't write shit.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
I told you what, it's easy for me because I don't. Yeah, but I suppose if they were getting fired.
Exactly.
No, yeah. But then again, it's not a bad thing. You're getting fired anyway. So
yeah. Anyway, you'll lose your job.
You get what I'm saying? But yeah, look, it's inevitable that when you are in this industry, and I mean, I used to attend a lot of events.
Yes.
Right now, I'm very... I don't...
Calm down.
And, you know, you drink, you know, you meet people, you socialize with people, all these people all the time. So, inevitably, at some point, there'll be some hookups. And, and you know, this industry pella, hey.
Nah.
He's your car.
Man, I'd love to go to these industry parties, eh? Wouldn't you?
Was it normally people who are open about their sexuality or normally the people who are not so open? What would you find?
See... With the industry, it's a tricky question, you know, because in the industry, I'm in the closet because I'm ashamed of being known to be sleeping with, you know,
so is
guys,
there a lot
whatever.
Of that?
Oh, wait. So there's that, and there's also, I'm cool. I'm happy being who I am. I'm not ashamed of being who I am. However, for my career prospect, I don't want to be, you know, boxed as, you know, the gay guy. Or I don't want... Because there are a lot of... There are people within our industry who are gay. Mm. And it's not like they're hiding it. Mm. It's not that nobody has ever asked them point blank. And they are not going to volunteer the information. Why should they?
Okay.
But also there's an element of... You know, in South Africa, once you... Especially if you're an actor, once you are labeled as gay... Then you start... love you so easy. But there's this thing where people think that being gay means you have to be so easy.
So easy.
Is it?
Yeah.
And it baffles me because we're in 2023 and I thought that had mellowed down, but I can still pick it up even now.
Like, who's this guy, man?
Which one?
He was a YouTuber. He started off as a YouTuber.
Which one?
Ish, man. He had a fight with Musa Kaulo. What's his name? Mushe.
See, the thing is that, yes, a lot of famous openly gay guys are effeminate and
yeah, right.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? But also there is a psychological thing around that as well. You know, for the longest time, people find gay men who are effeminate less threatening.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
One of the most annoying thing for me personally is the thing, you know, there are people who claim that they have no issues with gay people, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
But there's a level of tokenism that they use around gay people, so you become the joke.
Mm.
You are the one who, you are the funny one. You know, you are the whatever, and that for me. It's problematic. However,
it's a stereotype.
Yeah, that feeds into why you see that the more effeminate, whatever, gay guys in the industry are the ones that, you know, tend to prosper and tend to get more attention, whatever, because they are less threatening to everybody else and, you know, they are treated as, you know, the little toy.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of thing. And good for them. I mean, hey, they're making money out of it and that's who they are. Great for that. But, there are gay people in the industry who are different.
Is it true that gay people run this industry?
Nah.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Mm.
There are a lot of gay people in the industry.
Yeah.
Lots. In every sphere. But the perception that they run the industry, no, because that's the thing. People will take a perception and make it so big. And if you look at where that comes from, it comes from the fact that Sumisi can't be cancelled.
You reckon?
It comes from that. You get what I'm saying? And the fact that the mean gays on Twitter who don't really even represent any gay fucking community because these are just, you know, miserable, you know, self-centered.
Yay! You can't say that shit.
Oh, seriously. They're trying to send out my email. Hey, can't trying to send out my email. Saul says this and the he saw that. He sent me kayak email. Forgot the name, man.
Yeah, yeah,
There's an account, bro. Yeah. And I think that's the one you're referring to.
But my thing is that, I mean, like, that, just because there's that and they got the loudest voice doesn't mean that, you know, they represent any.
Yeah.
So the perception that gays run this industry is not real.
Mm.
What do you think runs it? Who runs it? Crooks.
Yo.
Oh, that's why the president hasn't signed the bill.
But also, you see, the thing about, you know, when I speak to my non-South African friends, I always reference that, you know, the one thing about this country is that it is so unique at every level.
Wow.
You know, even in our entertainment industry, it's very unique that in America, in Hollywood, how the industry operates there, you know where the power is, you know who's making money, you know what? Here, the people that you think are making money are not making money.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? The people that you're looking at and saying, that guy,
he's the one making money.
He's the one who is influencing these things. So,
wow.
It fascinates me all the time. That's why I love this industry so much because that's you literally learn something new.
So there's mafias involved?
Of course.
You?
Everywhere. Like, come on. Like, you don't act all shocked. I mean, come on.
He knows. You lie.
Bruh, every industry where there's more than a million changing heads, obviously.
Yes.
You gotta have
that. That's why there's no mafias in podcasting. There's no money. Nah, there's
they are coming. They are coming. You know? But yeah, but look.
That's crazy, man. Music, there's mafia. He's right.
Exactly. Especially in music.
Music,
it's getting more and more dangerous. Eh?
Fuck, so, man. Pinduka, you got a question for Phil?
Yeah, man. How come you're raising yourself since 17? Oh? How did that come about?
Oh, no. I was raised by my mother and my grandmother. So when my mother passed, I was in some... So I grew up Koko Muruleng. I don't know if you guys have been to Muruleng. Close to Sun City, Northwest.
Yeah.
It's a mining... The economy there is literally fueled by the mines around. And I was never going to work in mines. Mm. You imagine me in a mine. So... and I've always had that thing, I'm going to make something of myself. So at 17, when I was in matric, whatever. When my mother passed, and it was very evident that nobody was going to help me go to varsity or anything like that, you know. I've always been proactive. So I was like, I'm leaving. I'm going to Joburg. I don't know anybody. Yeah, I don't know anybody in Joburg. I slept at the Park Station, bro, for 2 weeks.
When I first got here.
Oh, bro.
You know what used to happen? Go Park Station. Like, you'd have the buses that are coming from Durban or Cape Town.
Yeah.
Defeat the Kabu 11, whatever. And then whoever's in there, whatever, they will chase you out.
Yeah.
After those buses arrive, people are getting in and whatever. After they are finished, they chase everybody out because they have to clean so that the buses didn't get too. So between 11 and 2, you would have to go find something to do somewhere.
Keep yourself busy.
You can't be around there. So, we've left. Hey,
and look at you now, bro.
So after the 2 weeks, where did you crash?
After the 2 weeks, then I was able to get one of my aunts.
Oh, family.
Because the other thing is that... It's very hard for me. And I blame my late mother for that. She was a wonderful woman. But one thing that... she gave me that was not so great is that you don't express your emotions to people. You don't let people know when you're suffering.
Hard exterior.
Like fight as hell to make it work.
Yes.
Part of the reason why we left our breads and went to Muruleng is simply because my mother left my dad, which was something that was not done in our family. In the day, you're a woman, you know, you stick it out and whatever. And my mother, and my mother was on some, I'm not doing that. I'm taking my child and I'm going home, you know. And so I got that from her. The fact that it takes a lot for me to ask help from somebody.
So when last did you cry?
Eh?
When last did you cry?
When last did I cry? Oh, God. When I found out Lumko passed away.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lumko with the...
That was a friend of mine. That was the hard cry.
Yeah.
The Dinky passing away, I kind of expected it. You know, because
which
of
Dinky,
Dinky from Big Brother.
Big Brother.
Yeah,
Dinky passed away.
Yes.
No ways.
I don't know Dinky.
Dinky, man.
The big girl.
Yeah. She was one of my favorites, man. Fuck. And she DM'd me. She wanted to come on the show. Fuck.
Yeah.
Jeez.
She was Dinky. The love of the party. Yeah. It was sad, but
How come? What do you mean you knew it was coming?
That's
crazy, bro.
Was
she sick?
No, she wasn't sick.
How did you know then it was coming?
The situation that she was in was I expected.
How'd she pass away?
Apparently, she was poisoned.
Poisoned.
Yeah, but the situation that she was in was bad to a point. I remember getting a phone call from her around 2 or something like that, and that day I thought something was going to happen to her. That day
was there has there been a conviction?
No. The thing that you know when people tell you the people with the biggest personalities are actually the ones that are actually suffering the most inside.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying? And when somebody like that hits a point where she can't even pretend. You know, it's bad.
So
this is horrible.
So yeah. She called you that day before?
No. Not the day she passed away. Like a couple of weeks. No, I'm trying to qualify why I'm saying that I expected it. Because I'm telling him that day that she called me, I thought that was the day that something was going to happen to her. You know, but thank God, you know, it didn't. And she was able to go home and all of that. But yeah. But you know what? Fuck it. Look, we shouldn't be protecting these motherfuckers. Dinky was in a very abusive relationship with that boy that she was with. And it's you know, sometimes we say it's not our place to speak for somebody.
Yes.
You know? And we don't know right now what happened to Dink in terms of the poisoning. Suspect that she was poisoned somewhere else, whatever. We don't know all of that, right? Yeah. But the reason why a lot of us who were friends with her were not shocked when she passed is because a lot of us expected it.
Huh.
You know, one of our mutual friends, after she had been buried and all of that, whatever, showed me a picture. And yeah.
Jeez.
So that's a reality that people are going through. What were you talking about? Hey, you guys are getting me all emotional.
I feel
this is deep, bro.
No,
because I've been struggling with this, bro. I've been struggling with it because you one thing you wanna respect a person's choice to reveal something about their life. But at the same time, when you don't speak up on certain things, you give certain people a pass.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because that man right now is probably dating somebody else.
Sheesh. He's moved on.
Maybe there's another woman going through the same shit that...
Most likely.
You get what I'm saying? So now, how do you reconcile the two? How do you reconcile the two that, you know what? She's not here to tell her own story. But then again, someone should be fighting for. That's for people to understand her story and what she was going through.
And you've never been abused, eh?
You know? Nah. You know, one thing, I've always been happy for. Like, I didn't even realize we were poor until I got to Joburg. No, seriously, because my mother, I think maybe she felt guilty about leaving my father and the security that dad could have afforded me and the life that dad could have afforded me. So my mother went out of her way to make sure that I had everything within the
means.
You know, I went to every school trip. I had a bicycle when I needed it. I had, like, my mother would actually go to town to go get my grandmother's pension. And she would bring me magazines, like buy me magazines back and stuff like that. And, you know, so I grew up in a very loving home and all of that. So I don't know anything about abuse and all of that. It's only when you get to Joburg, you realize, yo, people live like this. I was all we're going to Australia.
Hey, man, I live in hell, bro.
Film Pen. Thank you so much for coming through, man.
And you know what?
Film out.
Congratulations, guys. When are you hitting that 1 million? I'm very proud of you guys for what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm very proud of the platform that you've created.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully these guys will go and create other platforms and you become that guy who, you know, planted the seed for all of this to happen, man. Yeah. Congratulations, and when you fuck up, you'll know I'll be on the phone saying, hey!
Oh, don't worry, vice versa. Now we're Sukmel! Sukmel!
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me, bro.
Thank you so much, Phil, man. We are here, Podcast and Chill. Don't forget, 15th April, we're out at Sunbet Arena.
Yes.
Hey.
Road to 1 million. Get your tickets now if you haven't. We're out of here, man. Boom.
Hey.
Bye.
Yo!
Henda, you are now entering a space for Black history. A voice for the voiceless. The Harbinger on the Line Revolution. A marriage of chillers and platform that will last longer than it girl's marriage. Welcome to Black Excellence. Do not fear, for if you do, just sip on some grandeur. And if you still do, ask ourselves, what would Mapapunzi do? Pagama chilla, itlesha. The figgy, bungo yig, even if when they ask you, how sabi yin, do not fear. For if you do, just say, anistivi. This is the medicine of censorship. This is the pill. Which one is that one? Podcast and chill.